Good evening, Rabbi Maevsky. I wanted to wish everybody once again a Ksiva v'Chasima Tova, Beit Zechayis Alas Git. And what I wanted to mention to everybody, of course, we're all concerned about raising children. And the problem here is that it's really the Sedra is not so much about the laning on Rosh Hashanah, rather. We learn Vashem, we lay the first day Vashem Pokadah Sarok Asher Amar. And the second day we lay the Akedah. It's really one entire laning with one particular message. And in fact, it goes on, the end of the message is in the parasha following in Chayesara. And it begins as follows. The parasha Vayera begins, of course, with Abraham having his bris milah. And then God informs Abraham that he wants to destroy Sodom, and Abraham prays for Sodom. And of course, we see, unfortunately, that Abraham is a tremendous Baal Chesed, and he's lived amongst the Goyim all his life. He's not had a lot of Jews to live amongst, obviously, because he's the only one. And now comes the time when God wants to destroy. Well, maybe some people he knows, maybe not, but the people of Sodom, and certainly he knows Lot. And now he prays for them, and God is listening to him, but of course at the end he finally hangs up the phone and says, you just don't get it. These people have to go. And it's part of Abraham's DNA, he's the Baal Chesed. And God wants to teach him, and not so much teach him a lesson, but get him to take a look at, there are times when you have to be tough. Sometimes tough love is better than just giving in. And it follows after he prays for Sodom, and then God, of course, acquiesces and saves Lot. But we move on to there, we move on, and now they go down to Avimelech, and Avimelech is stricken. He takes Sarah as a hostage, and finally, when God comes to Avimelech in a dream, and he finally, Avimelech realizes the error of his ways, and he sends Sarah back, and he has this give and take with Abraham. Why didn't you, what made you think that I'm so evil that I would take her? And so on and so forth. But nevertheless, God, ki otzara, otzara Hashem b'yad kol rechem leveis Avimelech, God prevents everybody from having any children. And now we have the formula. It says that when somebody prays for somebody else, God answers him first. And since Sarah did not have any children, God answered her prayers. And, of course, she gave birth to Yitzchak. One of the questions, by the way, just as a side issue from here, but one of the major questions here that I don't see anybody asking is at the beginning of the parasha, when God says to Abraham, that Lamaway Kweis Hayor Sarah Vein, this took place before her visit to Abimelech. And at this point in time, it was before Vashem Pokada Soro Basher Omar and before the visit to Abimelech. So it would come out that really when she prayed for Abimelech's children, for Abimelech's, the people there, for the women to give birth to children, the fact is she probably at this point in time, if we have the chronology the way it's listed in the parsha, which brings that into question, she was already pregnant. And therefore, that would seem to be the whole concept of nanetchila, when you pray for somebody, would be called into question, and not that doesn't really call that into question, but maybe just in this case. But it's a lesson, nevertheless, in the makeup of Sarah Imenu, what type of a person she was. Of course, maybe she did not even know, and therefore she prays for other people. She puts herself first. But at this point in time, Hagar is now has been living with Abraham, and Yishmael is growing up. And after she is with child, and she finally has Yitzchak, and he makes a party for Yitzchak when he becomes Vayigdal HaYelad VayigomAl, and Vayas Abraham Shtegadol B'yom HiGomel Es Yitzchak. And Yitzchak is now, he's at least 2 years old. We make this mistake that when God comes to tell, Sarah comes to tell Abraham, Goresh Wamo Azos V'yes B'no, Ki Lo Yirash B'no Wamo Azos, which is very important and part of the mainstream of the whole parsha. And we think of Yishmael, we always see these drawing, these pictures of Yishmael as this little child. Yishmael, when you think about it, Yishmael had his bris at 13 years old. And so the same time as Yitzhak, when he was 13 at the end of last week's parsha, and now Yitzhak is at least two. So we're talking about a big-time teenager as Yishmael. And he's been hanging around the house now for a long time. And he, when he's acting out, he's not acting out as this little boy that Avraham is throwing out of the house, but he's still his in his own mind, Bechor. But the fact is, Sarah realizes, Kilo Yirash ben Omar Zos and Bini Yim Yitzchak. She says, if she stays in this house any longer, and you're an older man, and you, while she's living under this same roof as all of us, and you die, then he inherits. And I don't want him to be an inheritor of this land that God has given you the land, given us the land, and not Yishmael. And that is what God's message is. And God says to Avraham, Kol asher tomar elecha, Sarah shema b'kola. She is correct. She is totally correct. And it is time to get rid of Hagar. And it's not so much that, you know, she's taking her son with her. It's the same thing that she wants to get rid of Yishmael. But, of course, Hagar, his mother, is going to follow him. They are tied together, and they will not leave each other. So one goes, the other one goes, whichever one. But she only necessarily wants Hagar to move into her separate living quarters. But Avraham takes this and chases them away. But nevertheless, when he gets rid of Yishmael, what happens right after that? He gets rid of Yishmael, and things seem to be on the up and up. But then Avraham goes ahead. He gets rid of one, so to speak, non-Jew, Yishmael, and brings in another problem with Avimelech. And he makes a treaty with Avimelech. And, of course, he berates Avimelech for what he's done. He has no love loss for him, but he gives him a reason to riot act, Bochiach Avraham is Avimelech, and nevertheless, he still makes a peace treaty with him. And God is telling Avraham, you're not getting the message over here. I told you to get rid of Yishmael because this land is for Avraham and Yitzchak, and now you give away a piece of the land to Avimelech. You're still not getting the message. And if you're bringing up Yitzchak, he has to be unfettered by outside influences. And we see that's the problem in the world today. And Sarah understands the need for him to live his own life as with Avraham and Sarah raising him, and not what these, obviously a teenage boy roaming the house, doing all of these destructive things and being of the nature of Yishmael, who was at this point in time. But it doesn't end here, and that's why it leads into the second day's laning, which is the Akedah. And God is telling Avraham, listen, I gave you the land, and if you feel you're giving away pieces, then I gave you the land for Yitzchak. I didn't give it for Avimelech. And I'm giving it for Yitzchak. And if I'm giving it for Yitzchak and you're giving away a piece of the land, then you don't need him. And what happens if I took him away from you? So there we have the Nisayon. And the Nisayon is for Avraham, because he's trying to, even though, of course, it would seem on the surface that Nisayon is bigger for Yitzchak. But Yitzchak has been, at this point in time, finally been brought up without Yishmael around him, has reached his 30s, and now has become a full-fledged Jew. And with the upbringing of Sarah and Avraham alone as two parents, unfettered, uninfluenced by Yishmael at this point in time, but then we see that God brings upon the Akedah. And he's trying to mention to him and tell him at the end of the story as well, I gave you the land, ki lo yirash zarecha, yirash zarech eshar oyevav, and you will overcome your enemies. You will be the one. And he's giving him that message again. It's more about, besides raising Yitzchak to be the next one of the avos, who does not need any outside influences. But obviously Yitzchak did learn his lesson, because Yitzchak is the only one of the avos. He had one wife. He had Rivka, and Rivka and Rivka, and that's all he had as a wife. And then we move on and we see that Avraham finally learns his lesson. He finally gets the message, because we see in next week's parsha when Avraham gets remarried, and amazingly enough, at the very old age, doesn't tell us exactly how old he was, but obviously much older after Sarah passed away, and he gets remarried, and he has six more sons. But it says, Vayishalchem, Vaya Avraham, Vayishalchem, Odenu, Be Odenu Chai. He sent them all of Neha Pilak Shema Sherli Avraham. He had other wives as well, and he sent them away with gifts. He understood that he had these children, but they will not be part of the land. They will be Kedmoel Eretz Kedem. He sent them to the east. He sent them all the way east out of the land of Israel. He had these sons, and he didn't tell them like he told Avimelech, you could stay here, you're my sons, and you could move into the land and be part of this country. Kedmoel Eretz Kedem. He finally gets the message, because he realizes while he had six more sons, he almost lost Yitzchak's pride and joy, who survived the Akedah, and he had six more sons, but he realized this was just another test over here. God is seeing, what does he do with these six sons? Otherwise, what was the purpose of having these six sons? It could have been from somebody else. But the point is, he realizes that if Yitzchak is going to be the next one of the Avos to leave Klal Yisrael and bring up Yaakov properly with his wife Rivka, and then they also to have Yaakov and teach him properly to get along with the other people and to be the next one of the Avos, you have to drive away all the influences. Vayishalchenu v'yodenu chai. He gave them gifts and said, please, I'm asking you to leave Kedmo el Eretz Kedem. Make your own life, but not in this country. And that is the lesson that we have. We're coming up to the Rosh Hashanah, and we blow shofar. What's interesting about the shofar when we blow it? We blow many sounds. We blow a tkia, we blow a shvarim and a trua. And the point is, we say, we learn in yeshiva that what is the point of blowing shofar? It's Uri Yeshena Mishinatchem. We've been sleeping all year, perhaps, and the shofar is to awaken us. But the truth of the matter is, if that's all the shofar is, then after we blow the tekiah, and we would have a few tekiahs, 10 tekiahs, certainly we would all wake up. We would be alive and awakened. But the problem is, why is it followed by a shvarim trua? Because the truth of the matter is, once we wake up and we come to our senses, we look around, we get up and we realize where we are, we look at our surroundings in the world and what's happening around us, and then we go shvarim trua, oy vavoy, look what's happening in the world around us. So we have the tekiah to wake us up, and then the shvarim and the trua to signify the fact is that we have a lot of work to do to get rid of all these distractions, to get rid of all the things that have been happening to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, we have this week, we begin Rosh Hashanah. We pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that at this point in time, God forgives us our trespass, number one, and gives us a healthy and happy new year. May everyone have a Yimalei Hashem Kol Mishalosecha. May God grant all our wishes and have a wonderful year. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week.